Hello, hello, hello. It's your girl Kathleen, aka Cassidine, aka Sodine. And welcome to another episode of Sodine's Soapbox. Yes. Here on Sodine's Soapbox is where we rant about all things love, life, and the pursuit of music. Get into it, get into it. Hello, everyone. Hello. If you are a first-time listener, hello, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so happy to have you here. Pull up a chair, pull up a pillow, get comfortable, kick off your shoes, relax your feet, and enjoy this episode with me. And if you are a returning listener, hey, how you doing? How you doing? How your mama and them? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? How are you doing? We are a family here. So it is so good to be back. I don't know why it feels like such a long span of time between episodes, even though I know I do these bi-weekly, but for whatever reason, it just feels like such a long gap between the last episode and this one. It's probably because now the days are getting shorter because, you know, it'd be dark by like 3 o'clock. So I'd be feeling like, dang, how much time has passed? But anyways, that's probably why I just feel like there's such a long gap between the last episode and this one. But yes, so glad to be back and making another episode and talking with my family and friends. So we have a pretty good episode coming up today. Just a couple of things on my mind and my heart and spirit that I just want to rant about and chat. You know, the usuals. But y'all already know, before we jump into it, please, please, please follow your girl on the socials. That's Facebook, Instagram, and child, I don't know what's going on with Twitter. But for now, Twitter as well. My handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That's Shameless Listo. Come chat with me. Come talk to me. Let me know how you're doing. How is your Thanksgiving? If you celebrate Thanksgiving, I know for some people, because it is, we do have to respect the indigenous people. I know some people, rightfully so, don't celebrate Thanksgiving. So they just take it as a time to be with their family and their friends. But also, did you do anything for Thanksgiving? I know I didn't, because here in Korea, they don't really do anything. Their Thanksgiving is usually around September and October. So for me, it was just a regular day. But also, it is now officially December. Y'all, we are in the last month of 2022. Can y'all believe it? I feel like it was only just a blink ago that we were ringing in the new year for 2022, and now we are wrapping things up for 2022 to go into 2023. Like, it is crazy. But I know for me, I already have like all my Christmas stuff up, and I got my little small baby Christmas trees and my lights up. Because Christmas is my favorite holiday. And even though here in Korea, they make it all about couples and stuff like that, I absolutely love Christmas. And so I'm going to celebrate it. I'm going to make the best out of it. And so I'd love to know, for all of my listeners, what's your favorite Christmas movie or holiday movie? Because usually around this time, I start doing my little marathons. So I start watching The Preacher's Wife. Because, you know, Whitney ate, okay? And young Denzel, he fine as all get out. So I watched like The Preacher's Wife, The Last Holiday with Queen Latifah and LL Cool J. And then I love watching the latest movie is Jingle Jangle on Netflix. I think that's such a cute movie. Forest Whitaker, and I don't know the little girl's name, but it is such a good movie. I love Jingle Jangle. So I love watching that, and I love watching A Nightmare Before Christmas, because to me, that's a Halloween movie and a Christmas movie. I have to watch that movie at both times. And then I love watching A Christmas Story, and definitely having to watch Home Alone, because that's one of the classics for me. So I'd love to know, what's your favorite, whether Christmas movie or just holiday movie? Because I know some people don't necessarily celebrate Christmas. Maybe you celebrate Kwanzaa or another alternative. So I'd love to know what your favorite holiday movie is around this season. I will say, though, I don't do the whole Hallmark movies because to me, it's just copy and paste. They pick the same people to be the same characters. It's the same storyline in it. Like, it's too much for me. Like, I can't. It's very bland. It's very vanilla to me. So I just cannot do the Hallmark Christmas movie. My mother loves them, but I cannot. To me, it just doesn't seem like it has any originality. And like I said, it's like literally they use the same people in every single movie. And don't get me wrong, secure your holiday bag by all means. But to me, I'm just like, bruh, how many holiday movies can you make that are literally the same storyline over and over and over? But I digress. But anyways, so we're actually kind of already jumping into Sodin's life update. Like I said, I've already put up my Christmas decorations and then some other stuff that I've kind of just been seeing online. Obviously, right now, we're right in the middle of the World Cup. I'm not a huge soccer fan. I'm going to be honest with you, but my father is. So I know he's definitely engaged and glued to the TV as we speak, watching it. And here in Korea, it's definitely a big deal. Like, the pubs and the bars and whatever restaurant has TVs, they are packed for people to gather together and watch the game. I would watch the games, but a lot of them are too late for me and I'd just be ready to go to bed. Like, I think if I had groups of friends that were interested in it, I probably would go out to watch it, but I'm good. It ain't that, no offense, but it ain't that deep for me. And then as far as other stuff, oh, child, let me tell y'all. So I don't know if I've mentioned this in the first season of my show, but I never talk about my undergrad. Like, I don't talk about the school, I don't talk about the city. And it's just because, like, there is a lot of scandal that went on with my university. Do y'all know there's so much scandal that Hulu created a documentary about my university? Yes, you heard me correctly. There is a Hulu documentary about my university right now as we speak. Like, I watched it this weekend, and when I tell you I was flabbergasted, parts of it, honestly, I wasn't even surprised. But the other half of it, I was just like, bruh, I feel like they should just go ahead and clear my student loans for the mental damage that I had to experience as a result. So let me kind of give more context. So I went to Liberty University, which is in Lynchburg, Virginia. And if you're not familiar with Liberty University, it is the number one, or I don't know if it is anymore, but at the time that I went, it was the number one evangelical university pretty much across the nation. And it was founded by Jerry Falwell Sr., who was also like a pretty well-known evangelical pastor. Very famous, very well-known throughout the Bible Belt, which is basically from, I think, Virginia all the way down through Texas. I'm not really sure how far the Bible Belt goes, but I know it starts from like Virginia and it kind of goes all the way down. I think also like through Georgia. I think Tennessee is also part of it. Like, a lot of the southern states are part of the Bible Belt, just to kind of give you a reference. So my parents, at the time that I was a senior in high school, they really wanted me to go to Liberty University. I, on the other hand, wanted to go to HBCU, but my parents had other plans. They said, no, we really think that you should go to Jerry School, as it was pretty much called at the time. And so I ended up going. But y'all, this documentary is called God Forbid on Hulu, in case anybody wants to check it out. But it basically talked about Jerry Falwell Jr., the son, the first son, and his wife, and how they got caught up in this scandal with this boy out of Miami. And it was basically a whole sexcapade. That's really what it was. And they were blackmailing my boy because he wanted to basically start a name for himself. Really, he wanted to have his own business and get a real estate license and invest in real estate property. And so the Falwells kind of created this deal with him where if he would essentially sleep with Becky, which is the wife, and send videos to Jerry, the husband, or let Jerry watch, because I think in the beginning, like, he would be in the same hotel watching Giancarlo, I think was his name, the boy, or the man, the guy, Giancarlo and Becky. He would be in the room watching them, or they would have to send him videos, and then Jerry would then help Giancarlo with his, like, business endeavor. So, like, the whole time you find out, like, Giancarlo gets to meet, like, all these heavy hitters in the business industry, because Jerry Falwell Jr. had initially, like, a business degree before he took over Liberty, because once his father died, that's when he became the chancellor. But prior to that, he was a lawyer. He had a lot of connections and networks in the business realm. So Giancarlo really wanted to get close to Jerry Falwell Jr., or Jerry Jr., we'll just refer to him, because he thought that he could get him into rooms that he himself didn't have the access to. And even got to meet number 45, aka Terrible Lace Front, aka Trump, before he was president, and thought, oh wow, like, these people can get me into rooms, I just need to basically bide my time with them. Child, long story short, the Falwells basically abused their power and manipulated this boy. Because at the time, I think he was like 20 when he met them. So he said, like, he was basically just game, because he thought, like, oh, you know, he's a young 20-year-old. Like, who doesn't want to do these things? I don't know, child. Not me. But, you know, he's a guy. So he got mixed up with them, but thought, like, once he could get to the place that he wanted to, he could be like, okay, like, let's cut the deal short. I go my way, you go your way. But the Falwells basically, like, had him under his thumb until, I think the reason why Giancarlo decided to, like, expose them was because they got in the way of him getting a job that he really wanted. Like, he was getting his master's degree in business and had applied for a job. And when he went back to tell them that he got this amazing job opportunity, the job ended up turning around and pulling the job, like, pulling the application from him. And that's when he realized, like, they were never going to, like, let him go. They were never going to let him spread his own wings, essentially. But child, the whole thing is a mess. But what I thought was interesting was all of Giancarlo's interactions with the Falwells reminded me of, like, my experience at Liberty. Giancarlo talked about going to Liberty campus and how he's used to Miami being a melting pot, but when he went to the campus, it was like nothing but wahites. And I remember that being my experience as well. I grew up in my high school was a predominantly mixed high school. Like, there was Middle Eastern people, there were Black people, there were Spanish people. I had a pretty good mix, only to be thrown in Lynchburg, Virginia. And the Black population there were literally the bean on vanilla bean ice cream. We were specks. And I'm not even gonna get into the micro and the macro racism that took place on the campus. It was just out of this world. And then on top of that, the school has what was called, like, the Liberty Way, which was a code of conduct and rules and regulations that the students had to abide by, from curfew to we weren't allowed to watch rated R movies, or I don't even think we could watch PG-13 movies. Like, the only rated R movie we could watch was Passion of the Christ, because obviously And then we had to go to what was called chapel 3 times a week. And there was a dress code. Guys couldn't go into girls' dorms and girls couldn't go into guys' dorms. Like, it was just a long list of things. But ironically enough, the Falwells were breaking every single rule in the Liberty Way. Like, they were drinking, they were doing all this stuff. And I'm looking like, I want my money back for the reps and stuff. Because that's what happened. Like, if you broke any of the rules on the Liberty Way, you got what were called reprimands or reps. And some of them were like fines, whether it be $5 fines for like the basic ones. Like, if you were like late for chapel or you didn't clean your room, because for chapel, you had to do room checks. And if your room was dirty or did not meet the cleaning requirements on multiple occasions, then you were fined. But then like you would get like major fines, maybe of like $300, $500 for, like I said, if you had like a rated R movie or if you were caught drinking or smoking or whatever the case may be, like on the same level as a felony. So it's just a bunch of crazy things. And I don't even want to get into it. Just know that like once I left, I disassociated myself from the entire university because I realized telling people I went to Liberty University or that, you know, Lynchburg, Virginia in and of itself just automatically ask questions. Because a lot of people are like, oh, isn't that Jerrytown? Like, that's usually what people say. They're like, oh, Lynchburg, Virginia, isn't that Jerrytown? Child, I can't. Now, I will say, though, despite all of that, there was blessings that came through it and came out of it because I met some amazing people. I made amazing friends. I made amazing connections. And I was able to network with so many people, connect with so many people that honestly, if it wasn't for my time in Virginia, I wouldn't have gotten to where I am now. It's because of my time in Virginia that me making the connections and staying there for almost 10 years, really, I was able to later on decide to move to Korea. So it wasn't all bad. It wasn't all for naught. There are people that to this day, I'm still connected with, I'm still friends with, and they're part of like my core friend group. I'm not gonna say the whole thing was bad, but for the most part, child, I try to distance myself from my undergrad. I don't have any of the like merch, nothing. Cause you know, a lot of people like to rep their alma mater. I don't. Don't ask me where I went to school. Obviously, I've said it, but I don't like to tell people where I went to university for my undergrad because it usually is just met with you get strange looks is all I'm saying. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But anyways, that was kind of a long life update. But when I saw that Hulu documentary, I was like, bruh, imagine your university having such a big scandal that Hulu jumps on top of it. Anyways, I digress. Moving on. So for today's episode, I kind of want to talk about something that's just been on my mind. And I feel like the past couple of episodes, I've kind of just been doing that. It's just talking about like lessons and things that's just been on my mind. And I think one of the lessons, especially like now that we're in December, and this is usually the time that people start reflecting on the whole year as a whole and thinking like, what goals or achievements did they hit or miss? What type of goals and achievements do they want to start planning for in the future, in the next 6 months, 3 months, or whole year? This is usually that kind of that time where you either start feeling optimistic for the next year or you start feeling down on yourself because you feel like, oh my God, like the year's wrapping up and I feel like I still have so many things I need to accomplish and I didn't do any of that. Or like you just feel like you fell short in a lot of areas of your life. And I think for me, I'm kind of in the season where I'm learning to just be present, to just focus on the right here, focus on the right now. Because a lot of times what happens is we have a tendency to be so caught up in the future that we start missing on the present. We start missing on the today. And this is kind of like where my head is at with that, is like, we're always in this mindset of the what's next. You know, what's next? What's next? What's next? We're always trying to move forward. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because obviously moving means there's some form of progression. There's some sort of growth. There's some sort of maturity that's happening. So progression is usually good. But I feel like a lot of the times, especially now where there's like this really big hustle culture, but now the resting mentality is trying to like take over, especially after the Pandorosa has happened. You have a lot of people that are trying to really push the fact that we need rest just as much as we need hustle. And that's kind of good. That's a good conversation to have, because I feel like a lot of people didn't realize how burnt out they were until they were forced to rest, until they were forced to stay home, and they were forced to kind of like face themselves. But I feel like sometimes, for example, let's just say you get a new job, right? You get a new job, you go through training. Training might be like, for some places a week, some places 2 weeks. So let's just say training is 2 weeks and you start getting used to the job after maybe a month or 2 months. But then your mind starts thinking about, oh man, like I really want a promotion. But like, you just got the job. So like in your head, you're already thinking about moving to the next stage of the job, but you just got there. Instead of focusing on the right here, the right now, and just figuring out what you need to learn on the job in this season, in this point of your life, you're already rushing to get to the next point, to get to the next area. And I feel like that happens so often, because we pray for something, we get it, and then we're already like, okay, what's next? What's next? Versus learning to appreciate what we already have in front of us. Because at one point, we didn't have it. At one point, we were praying for the very thing that we have. And now your mind is already trying to move on to the next, instead of just kind of sitting, in essence, marinating on what you have. And again, I'm just speaking from my perspective. I'm just speaking for me. If it resonates with you, great. If it doesn't, you know, that's okay. But I know for me, a lot of the times, like, I just get caught up on the next season of my life and I miss the current season of my life, because my mind is already thinking of 6 months down the road, a year down the road, or 5 years down the road. Another example is just like, I've talked about this before, me being single. And the fact that like, oh, not necessarily, oh, I can't wait to be in a relationship, because I, using the right here, right now, being present mentality, I've been trying to date myself, because I realized that there is going to be a day that I am in a relationship. And that's going to be a whole different season in and of itself. But if I don't cherish my singleness right now and take advantage of it to the fullest by dating myself and enjoying the things that I enjoy and traveling and eating all the food that I want and spending, you know, the money on whatever lavish things that I want, I'm going to end up in a relationship and I'm going to have the fun that I have with my partner. But there's going to be a time where I'm going to look back and feel like, dang, I should have really taken advantage of my singleness, versus being in my single season and sitting around thinking to myself like, man, I can't wait to be in a relationship. I'm tired of being single. I just want to be in a relationship. And obviously, I'm just using a relationships scenario because that's usually one that people can relate to. Because you have a lot of people, that's what they do in their singleness. They waste away their singleness by wanting to be in a relationship, but they don't take full advantage of their time while they're single. And so therefore, once they're in a relationship, like, you do realize, like, even when you're in a relationship, you need to still appreciate the time that y'all are boyfriend and girlfriend, or whatever your how you identify. Because if you decide to get engaged, that's a whole different season in and of itself, because it now requires something different of you. Dating versus being engaged, there's a whole different requirements. There's different work that is required of you in comparison to once you're married, to once you become parents, to once you become, you know, whatever, whatever. Like, each level requires more and more work versus if we just learn to become comfortable and just sit in the season that we're in, we glean the lessons that we're supposed to glean from, we take our time and not rush through things, then we don't end up 80, 90 years old, Lord willing, and we don't look back on our lives and feel like, dang, I should have appreciated this particular time more, or I should have just enjoyed this particular age a lot more. You know, if we really just sat in each individual season that we're in, we would probably walk away with less regret. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to do everything right, because that would mean we're perfect. And I don't know about y'all, but I ain't nowhere near perfect. Child, ain't nothing about me perfect at all. I may say I'm perfect as in a joke, but baby, it ain't over here. But the reality is, we need to learn how to sit within each season and really just figure out, okay, let tomorrow worry about itself. How can I take full advantage of today? Because the same way people say, I have the same 24 hours as Beyonce, Beyonce takes full advantage of her 24 hours. She don't worry about tomorrow. She lets tomorrow worry about itself. She figures out, how can I take full advantage of today? And that's the same mentality we need to have. How can I take full advantage of today? Whether it be I take care of myself, or I spend time in nature, or I take myself to my favorite restaurant, or I cook myself my favorite meal, or I spend time with the people that matter and the people that I love, and I tell them that I love them. Because I feel like sometimes we miss that. We spend time with the people that we love, but we don't actually tell them that we love them. Because in our mind, we just assume, oh, they know that I love them. Do they though? Because this is just a side note, because I've seen this before when people talk about love languages. You do realize when you're talking about someone's love language, like my love language, my first two is acts of service and quality time. It's how I feel loved. It's not how the other person feels loved. So if someone else's love language is quality time and yours may be physical touch, giving them physical touch does not mean they feel loved. You need to spend time with them. And I feel like that seems to be a confusion, because I can't tell you how many times I've seen people say that their significant other's love language isn't gifts. And I'm thinking to myself, he doesn't feel loved when he receives a gift. But if your love language is gifts, your partner should be giving you gifts. And I feel like there's a confusion in the love languages. That's just a sidebar. But I feel like people misunderstand the whole love languages ordeal. I've said this before, we need all five. All five are necessary. It's just that in ranking, some are just higher on the list than others. But essentially, you need all five. Because for me, physical touch is at the bottom. But I recognize that I still very much need physical contact with those that I'm close with. I just don't like everybody and their mama touching me. That's the truth. That's just the truth. I don't like everybody and their mama touching me. But at the same time, I recognize how important physical touch is for me. I'm gonna be 100% transparent. I don't remember the last time somebody hugged me since coming to Korea. And it hit me that I don't remember the last time I received a hug. Because naturally here in Korea, people bow. Somebody may like grab your hand, because I've had my students like interlock their arms with me or hold my hand. Cool, no problem. But I don't remember the last time I received a hug. Now again, some people, they don't do physical touch. That may mean nothing to you. But for me, that kind of like clicked in my head. Like, I need all five of the love languages. Because when you deprive yourself of one of them, it kind of chips away at the others. So in terms of being present, one of those things that you do is spending time with your family members or your friends, and you care about them, tell them that you care about them. Don't just assume because you talk to them or you're around them or you do things for them that they automatically know, oh, that I care about them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you care about them. Tell them how much they mean to you. And if you struggle with saying it verbally, put it in a love note. Put it in a thinking of you card. I don't know. Put it on a sticky note and stick it on their forehead. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, let people know that they're important to you right here, right now. Because tomorrow is not promised. We assume that there's a future to be planning for, and we really don't know. Like, and I'm not trying to be all dark and doomsday, but I feel like a lot of times, like, while it's good to plan, it's absolutely necessary and good to plan, because how are you going to hit the target if you don't even know what the target is? Having a plan is good. Having goals is good. It's necessary. But at the same time, you can't be so focused on the future that you miss what's in front of you today. And that's kind of like where, for me, I'm just teaching you guys nuggets, or giving you guys the nuggets that I've just been learning in my life, you know. And this isn't even something that I've been necessarily getting from therapy or anything. This is just kind of things that I've been getting from like the books I've been reading, the YouTube videos I've been watching, that I just realized that I spent too much time thinking about an imaginary future instead of focusing on a solid today. Today is right in front of me. Tomorrow's not here. And tomorrow comes and it's going to be today. So every time tomorrow comes, it's going to be today. It's going to be today. And if I'm not taking advantage of it and I'm constantly thinking about the future, too many todays are going to pass me by. And I'm going to be wondering why I let so much time slip. And so for me, I just feel like I need to just stop worrying about what the future is going to hold. I may have some goals and dreams and aspirations that I would like my future to look like. Because I just told y'all, my birthday came around. Your girl was having a mid-life crisis, quarter-life crisis, altogether crisis. Child, I don't know. Just a crisis in general, because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I still don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I love teaching, but I'm like, is this my forever job? I don't think so. I love podcasting. I love teaching. I love my students. I love music. There's so many things about me that I love and I enjoy doing. But as far as like what my career is going to be, I have no idea. I have no idea. I always imagined myself having a record label like Diddy. Then I find out Diddy's trash. So that literally like shatters my entire vision. And I'm not saying like my vision was wrapped up in Diddy. As I'm getting older, I'm finding out the dark side of the entertainment industry. And so it's starting to chip away at my goals and my dreams that I had for the future. So now I'm having to go back to the drawing board. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to let the future work out itself. I'm going to, I say this every time, but I need to just make it a reminder this is just me coming from a Christian perspective. I just got to put my future in God's hands. Because at the end of the day, he the one that knows. I don't know. Because if I drive the car, I'm going to drive myself into a ditch. So Jesus, take the wheel, because I can't take the wheel. I can't. If I take the wheel, we going into the ditch. Flat out. Because I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And I think that's okay. I don't think I was ever supposed to know what I'm doing. I think the best thing that I could do is wake up every day and say, you know what? I'm going to take full advantage of today. And my prayer is always just that God opens up my eyes, my mind, my spirit, that any lesson that he's trying to teach me in the day, that I receive it. And there's another prayer that I say, it's not my own, but there's a famous speaker, author named Lovey Ajayi Jones. And she wrote The Professional Troublemaker. And she always says, Lord, let my helpers find me, but let me also be open to receiving the help. So for me, I'm like, there are angels everywhere. People are angels in themselves, but they're also our helpers. So I'm always like, maybe the reason why I don't know is because God is going to send me a helper who's going to connect me to the dreams and the goals and the career that I want. So for now, I'm just like, God, send me the helpers, send me my helpers, and also open up my eyes, my ears, my mind, and my spirit to be aware of the lessons that you're trying to teach me and that I could take full advantage of the day, because I'm just going to focus on today and today only. Everything else is in his hands, because I can't be stressed about it. I can't be stressed about it. I can't be worried about a future that literally I can decide to plan one thing and then something else interrupts that plan. Whereas God's plan supersedes my own. His ways are not my ways. His plans are not my plans. His thoughts are not my thoughts. So I'm like, you know what? I might as well just put them in his hands and just focus on being present and being right here in the moment. Just trusting that it's going to work out for my good, that everything is going to fall into place as it should and as it already has. If you've heard my delayed but not denied story, I didn't know how I was getting to Korea. And yet somehow the dots connected. And in reality, I didn't do anything to connect the dots. I really didn't. Except, even though I didn't know it at the time, I just was just moving and my steps were being ordered. So if something like that could happen and I end up in Korea and I really didn't put that much effort, I didn't have to hustle, I didn't have to finagle, I didn't have to mooch my way into it, I didn't have to do anything, then that means that whatever future is ahead of me, the dots are going to connect and I'm going to end up where I'm supposed to. I just need to have faith and believe that everything is going to find its way. What I'm supposed to have will find me. The doors that are supposed to open will open. I heard this lady say the other day that when you come across a door, some doors you have to wait for them to be open for you, and there are other doors that you have to open yourself. So I'm just going to believe that when it comes time and I come across certain doors, that I'm going to know whether or not I'm supposed to open the door myself or wait for the door to be open for me. Because how many times have we received doors of opportunity that somebody else opened for us, or we ourselves walked into opportunities because we were led into them? So that's what I'm just going to do. I'm just going to trust the process, but be present right here, right now. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up today's episode. I hope today didn't sound too preachy. I try my best not to come across as preachy or anything like that, because even though I am a Christian and sometimes that does come through in my content, I never want to come across as preachy or anything like that. Sometimes I can't help it because I am a pastor's daughter, but I never want to come across that way, because I understand that not everybody believes what I believe. Not everybody comes from the same background as me, but I still hope that what I am trying to say still connects with whoever is listening, regardless of your religious background. Because I'm not someone who believes in religion. I believe in relationship. I have a relationship with Jesus. I don't believe in religion. But regardless of that, I hope that none of my episodes come across as me preaching or come across as me being this religious person. So I try not to come across as preachy, but a lot of the times I just be talking, and I just hope that what I say connects to you as my listeners. Because to be honest, today's episode was supposed to be something completely different, but I felt led to talk about this today. So I hope that this topic connected with you in some way. And I'd love to know how you feel about today's episode. I'd love to know, what's one way that you can be present? You can learn to be present. Give me one way. So is it that you decide to journal more, or step out in nature for walks, or you decide to take yourself out on little small trips? I know it's starting to get cold, so I don't blame you if you don't go out as much, because I know for me, I'd be hibernating. Once I'm older than the temperature outside, I don't be going out like that. So I don't blame you if you don't go out. But I'd love to know, what is one way that you can be authentic to yourself and be in the moment and stay present? Again, I'm going to wrap up today's episode. If you love my podcast and you love the content that I make, I just ask one favor. Please head over to podchaser.com, find your girl's podcast, that's Sodin Soapbox, and leave your girl at least 4 stars, 5 stars preferably, but 4 stars at least, and leave your girl 1 to 2 lines on why this is your favorite podcast. So again, head over to podchaser.com, that's podchaser.com, find your favorite podcast, that's Sodin Soapbox, SORIN'SSOAPBOX. And again, leave your girl 4 or 5 star, as well as 1 to 2 line review on why this is your favorite podcast. It does a great deal for someone like me, who's a small content creator trying to grow her platform. And also, again, I'd love to just know, what's one way you plan to be present in the moment? So head over and follow me on the socials. That's Facebook, Instagram, and for now, I guess, Twitter. My handle is Shameless Listo. That's SHAMELESSLISZGO. And also tell me, what is your favorite holiday movie? I'd love to know what your favorite holiday movie or your favorite Christmas movie that you like to watch around this time. So that's 2 things I ask of you. Number one, tell me, what is one way that you can be present in the moment? And number two, what is your favorite holiday movie? Is it The Preacher's Wife, A Christmas Story, The Last Holiday? Maybe it's a completely different movie that I haven't heard of. Jingle Jangle, I don't know. I'd love to know. But until next time, your girl is off her soapbox. See ya!